Psalms That Curse, A Brief Primer, Sean McGowan, Reform Zion Publishing, 2021, 80 pages. A book review from Books at a Glance by Ryan Speck. The imprecatory psalms. What in the world are we as Christians to do with these psalms that call down violent, dastardly curses upon enemies? Should we simply discount them as not truly inspired, the despicable rantings of mere men? Should we regulate them to an Old Testament age unfit for enlightened Christians today? Perhaps Christ could say such things, but not us mere mortals. Are we not embarrassed by them, confused by them? In this short, accessible, and valuable work, Sean McGowan leads us into a right understanding of the imprecatory Psalms. He reminds us that we must consider the entire Psalter as inspired and profitable for our edification, as spelled out in chapter 1. He defines what imprecatory psalms are, and summarizes the arguments against their use today, as spelled out in chapter 2. He exegetes Psalm 137, and draws important principles from this imprecatory psalm, establishing a proper understanding of how imprecations were righteously used in the scriptures, as spelled out in chapter 3. He demonstrates that imprecations were also used in the New Testament, and must be compatible with loving our enemies, as spelled out in chapter 4. He teaches principles for the proper use of imprecations today, in chapter 5, concluding with 20 pages citing imprecations throughout the Word of God, both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Throughout this book, McGowan emphasizes a critical principle: righteous imprecations do not express personal vengeance or the desire for it. Rather, proper imprecations focus upon the glory due to God's justice and simply ask for God to accomplish what he promises. In fact, imprecations are designed to undercut personal vengeance and comfort the afflicted. Quote, "For many Christians, a burden is lifted when they look to the Father and cry out for his justice to be done, instead of seeking to do it themselves." Close quote. Thus, when the Babylonians committed great atrocities against Israel in Psalm 137, following the Lex Talionis rule of Scripture, God's people simply express their desire that God would accomplish his promised equitable justice against the Babylonians. Citing R.L. Dabney, McGowan reminds us that if God promises to execute justice, it is proper and right for God's people to desire him to accomplish it. It is within this context that God's people would rightly say, quote, "Happy is the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rocks." Psalm 137, verse 9. As appalling as that statement seems, as visceral as your response might be to it, we must learn to understand why God included this in his inspired word. McGowan helps us to understand. Further, McGowan demonstrates that loving your neighbor is compatible with calling down imprecations, for loving your enemy was a principle in the Old Testament too. Set alongside of imprecations, for example, Leviticus 19:18 and cross-reference with Exodus 23 verses 4 through 5. Thus, imprecations were compatible with loving your neighbor in the Old Testament, and so we must consider imprecations compatible with loving your neighbor in the New Testament also. Thus, McGowan argues in a compelling manner that we should use imprecations today, carefully demonstrating how to do so rightly while rejecting carnal imprecations. While McGowan clearly shows that imprecations and love of our enemies must be reconcilable given their coexistence in Scripture, his argument how they are seems somewhat lacking. The only real reason he provides is a citation from John N. Day, namely, "If your enemy's cup of iniquity has become full to overflowing, this love of your enemies is overtaken by the demands of justice and divine vengeance." He supports this case by appealing to Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44, Jesus lamenting the judgment that will come upon Jerusalem. McGowan states that Jesus utters an imprecation against them. Yet while Jesus prophesies their future destruction, does he truly call on the Lord to bring judgment upon an enemy as McGowan defines imprecation on page 10? Some of the passages McGowan cites at the end of the book, likewise, seem more like prophecies than imprecations. Yet when Christ does speak imprecations against enemies, for example the woes of Matthew chapter 23, they still receive general benevolence from God. both imprecations and benevolence coexist at the same time. How then do imprecations overtake love of our enemies? Would Jesus hesitate to help one of these Pharisees if his donkey fell in a ditch, for example, even after uttering these imprecations? McGowan proves clearly that enemy love and imprecations are compatible, but his explanation of how they are compatible seems lacking. Further, when McGowan allows for the limited application of imprecations upon specific individuals, he does so especially by appealing to Acts chapter 13, verses 10 through 11. However, the Apostle Paul is not so much asking God to curse Elymas as declaring God's judgment against him. This is more of a declaration than an imprecation. In addition, this judgment is temporary. Elymas would only be blind for a time. Typically, I consider imprecations to imply the ultimate final wrath of God. Therefore, I have difficulty seeing Paul's statement as an imprecation because he neither calls down judgment but declares it, nor implies eternal condemnation, leaving room for repentance. In my mind, therefore, it remains an open question whether we have the right to call down an imprecation upon a specific individual. Rather, my understanding is that we may request imprecations upon a specific category of men, not upon specific individuals. That is, we may ask God to curse men who are ultimately condemned by him as non-elect, those whom God has promised to curse. If God chooses to redeem those who fiercely oppose him and harmed his people, for example, Saul of Tarsus, we have not asked God to curse our fellow believers, but only those who ultimately refuse to repent. While McGowan may not iron out every wrinkle in understanding and applying the imprecatory Psalms, to my satisfaction at least, nonetheless, he makes a very compelling case that we as Christians should carefully and wisely use imprecations today. As McGowan puts it, quote, "Modern evangelicalism is ripe with quality of niceness. Fashionable Christianity leaves no room for Matthew 23, where Christ calls the Pharisees whitewashed tombs, who are corrupted on the inside and filled with dead men's bones." One of the things that made Christians so impactful in the past was the fact that they were willing to call out sin, and they were willing to call upon the justice of God to bring forth that justice on horrific sin. We are losing that at an alarming rate today. Close quote. Should we pray nice prayers for malicious human traffickers, wealthy abortionists, and violent persecutors? Is there no room to cry out for God's promised justice in the midst of soul-wrenching pain directly caused by men? Despite a few reservations, I heartily recommend this book for any believer struggling with the mere presence of imprecations in the scriptures. Likewise, it is an excellent book to use as a guide in studying this issue in churches. We cannot cut out portions of scripture because we do not like them or understand them. The works of God are great, including his works of justice, studied by all who have pleasure in them, Psalm 111 verse 2. This excellent book helps us to understand, appreciate, and use biblical imprecations. Ryan Speck is pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in Columbia, Missouri, and is review editor for Theology Here at Books at a Glance.